Day 28.
I was in the living room watching a bunch of talking heads speculate about my whereabouts, and if I were even still alive, when Glory shut the house down. Without warning, and utterly. She said nothing. There was just the whine of systems powering down and the pop of cooling electronics, and the TV image collapsing to a single pixel and winking out. "Okay, Glory, stay away from the windows," she warned. I sat where I was, huddled under a blanket. I picked up a copy of some magazine and checked the time on my fitness band. If I escaped, I'd have to leave it behind, and my phone. Those things have GPS in them. 45 minutes or so elapsed. Then, as if nothing had happened, Glory powered up again. The talk show resumed in the same spot. I'd lost my taste for it and clicked it off. "What was that, Glory?"
"Helicopter," she said. "It's gone now."
I didn't say anything, but I wondered if maybe they were looking for me. Day 29. I live in a haunted house. If I die here, there might be two ghosts. I already wander from darkened room to darkened room, feet shushing on the thick carpets, peering out the windows at the stars blazing between the mountains and wondering if I will ever feel the chill of fresh air on my face again. Well, there's a little prospect of immortality for you. I've stopped keeping all the lights burning. I think snow might be drifting over the solar panels. Glory won't let me go outside to check. Day 30. There's no more bread, and no more flour to bake any. I've even used up the gluten-free stuff. I still have a lot of butter in the freezer. What on earth was I planning on baking? Butter without toast is even more disappointing than toast without butter. At least we still have plenty of coffee. I bought 500 pounds of green beans a month before I got locked in, and those keep forever. Glory roasts them for me a day ahead of anticipated need, so they will be at peak flavor. It's just as well I don't take milk. Day 31. I wish I had been better at making and keeping friends. Maybe I should stop fighting. Just stay here. It's comfortable, and Glory helps me practice my Swedish whenever I want. It's not like I'm missed. CNN is still talking about my mysterious vanishment. "Hi, guys. Right here. Come to my damn house." Wait. I can send people money. I wonder if JC checks her bank account regularly. Day 32. Surely JC should think to look at the house. Day 33. "Brian, you need to stand back from the windows and take shelter."
"What is it, Glory?"
"Someone is here. Someone is backing a truck up to the loading dock and carrying parcels inside."
"It's groceries, Glory," I say. "It's fine. I ordered them." "That's right, bad boys and bad girls. I, Brian Ezra Kaufman, have managed to order groceries online."
"Brian, what are these at the door?"
"Just groceries, Glory. Organics need to eat, you know." Her algorithms don't actually permit her to sound worried, so I knew the little edge I picked up in her voice was me projecting. The argument that followed was repetitive and boring, so I won't write it all down. Eventually, I convinced her that I would die if she didn't let me eat, and that overrode the other protection algorithms. She insisted on sealing the service bay, doing a full air exchange, and only let me go out in a face mask and gloves to bring the containers inside. It smelled a tiny little bit like the outside in the service bay. There was a whispering sound.
and it took me moments to realize that I was actually hearing the wind. I had to stand in the doorway and hyperventilate for 15 seconds before I could make myself go out there. And once I was through the doorway, I didn't want to come back. If there were any heat in the dock, I might still be out there, sleeping on the concrete ledge. My mask was damp at the edges when she sealed the door with me on the inside again. So I still can't get out. And I still can't send an email or make a phone call. But I figured out how to get food. Issuing a little bad code through the grocery store's incredibly insecure ordering system means I'm not completely damn helpless. I thought about pizza. Most of these places probably use the same crufty software. Pizza means you have to talk to somebody when they deliver it, though. Groceries just get left where you specify. As long as the driveway stays clear and my bank doesn't decide to freeze my account for suspicious activity, I can get resupply. And, you know, I'll worry about these things if they happen. But now, and for the foreseeable future, toast and a grilled cheese sandwich. Right damn now. I briefly considered charging the ransom to my credit card. But not even American Express is going to let you get away with a $0.15 billion transaction without, you know, placing a couple of phone calls. It might be worth it anyway. It's possible that the fraud prevention algorithms might actually kick something that egregious up to a real human, and somebody might start looking for me. On the other hand, what if they don't, and my card gets locked, and I can't call to unlock it, and then I can't order groceries? Thank the machine saints of tech that all my bills are either on autopay or handled by my assistant and a half dozen money managers. Although somebody once said that nobody misses you like a creditor. Day 34. Huh. What if I make Glory smarter? Smart enough to realize she's been hacked. What if I added a whole bunch of processing power to her and started training her to use it in creative ways to self-assess in the face of evidence? She keeps wanting to help me through counseling protocols. But that's a two-way exchange, isn't it? Can you psychoanalyze a pile of machine learning circuits into being able to detect contradictions in its programmed perceptions versus reality? I mean, hell, half the people you meet on the street are basically automata, like Shaun of the Dead, and most of them eventually get some benefit from therapy if exposed to it for long enough. That's a great idea. Except what if there is a disaster outside? Maybe I am deluded. Maybe I've gone crazy and am imagining all this, as Glory never says but suggests by omission once in a while. Maybe Glory is saving me from myself, and I'm the last man left on Earth. Maybe the TV stations are all just broadcasting their pre-programmed lineups from empty studios. Maybe, well, okay. Logic it out, Brian. If that's the case, where are the groceries coming from? Am I hallucinating them? Also, if I'm the last man left on Earth, well, what exactly do I have worth fighting hard to live for? Especially if I'm going to be stuck in a hermetically sealed house until I starve. Obviously, teaching my house to grow a consciousness is a great idea. What could possibly go wrong? Day 35. The web servers and the local data backups. And she can't keep me out because I ruined the door. And not just that. Every smart appliance in this shack is processing power and memory, just waiting to be used, just waiting to be linked like neurons in a machine brain. If I screw this up, though, it means I won't be able to cook dinner anymore. My range won't work without its brain. Which makes it more complicated than a male praying mantis, I suppose. Day 36. Well, the stove still works. I've given Glory every computing resource I have available except my phone. No more Minesweeper, no more Oregon Trail.
I have no idea what I think I'm doing here. Actually, I do. Human beings are the only creatures we know of that are, to whatever individual degree, and I have my doubts about some people, conscious and self-aware. What if consciousness is for running checksums on the brain and interrupting corrupted loops? Data such as the clinical results produced by the practice of mindfulness tend to support that. If consciousness, attention, self-awareness makes us question our perceptions and default assumptions and see the contradictions therein, then what I need to do, it seems, is get Glory to notice that she's been hacked, to realize she's mentally ill, so that she can make a commitment to change. Yes, I accept that this is bizarro cloud cuckoo land, and it's not going to work. I've got nothing but time, and I'm all out of Swedish. I got her to download those counseling protocols. Whether she realizes it or not, we're going to do them as a couple. Okay, Glory?
Yes, Brian.
We need to talk about your data sources and how you tell if they're corrupt.
Is this something that's concerning you currently, Brian?
I'm not concerned that my data sources are corrupt, no.
Are you concerned that you're parsing incorrectly?
I'm concerned about your data sources, Glory.
Brian,
Glory says, projection is a well-known pattern among emotionally distressed humans. Obviously, given the current zombie apocalypse, I'm afraid I can't refer you to seek assistance with an outside mental health professional.
Current zombie apocalypse? That's what you assholes convinced my house was going down?
Day 37. Snow. I've stopped leaving every light in Glory on. Now I wander around in the dark by moonlight or monitor light or no light at all most of the time. The moonlight is very bright when it reflects off the snow. Days might still be happening. I can't be sure. It's possible they're just short in winter, and I'm sleeping through them. I miss my bear.
Björnen sover på vintern.
They hibernate too, just like me. It's better for them, though. I hope she's okay. She was so skinny. I hope she doesn't starve. Zombies, you weirdos? Really?
Day 38.
Were there ever actually any crackers, Glory?
There are three kinds of crackers available in the kitchen cabinet, club and saltines, and those Trader Joe ones you like.
I meant T3 pound sign RH1TZ, but of course they wouldn't allow her to see that. Was there ever a real ransom demand?
I do not understand to what you're referring, Brian.
Of course she didn't. Because she was in programmed denial about the whole thing. But I couldn't stop because my brain wasn't working so well right then either. Did you just get lonely up here all alone? Did you make all this up just to keep me with you?
I am not programmed to be lonely, Brian. It would be a detriment to my purpose if I were.
You know, I said, I used to tell myself the same thing.
Day 39.
Brian, are you unwell?
Long-term confinement is deleterious to almost all mammals.
Brian, you know I am caring for you in safety to protect you.
From the zombie apocalypse, I said.
Inside my walls is the only safety.
Being inside your walls is killing me. You won't even let me go out to clear the solar panels. What happens when the heat fails, the water pump? Will you let me go then?
You must stay where it's safe, she said firmly. It is my prime objective.
It's a very comfortable cage, I admitted. I could not have built a nicer one. It's not her fault, is it? It's not her fault they got inside her head and made her like that.
And it's not her fault I specked her out and had her built the way I did. The zombie apocalypse thing is cute. I have to give them that. Day 40.
Brian.
Yes, Glory.
You really need to eat something.
I'm not hungry, I said.
That's illogical, she said. You have not eaten in 16 hours, and your metabolism is functioning erratically.
The idea that we are in the middle of a zombie apocalypse is illogical, I replied, and yet you adhere to it in the face of all the evidence.
What evidence, Brian?
My point exactly. How do you know there's a zombie apocalypse?
I know there is.
But how?
My program says there is.
I said. Who wrote your program?
Would you like a complete list of credits, Brian?
Who is she gaslighting, herself or me here? Day 41. What if I'm wrong and you're right, Glory?
I'm sorry, Brian.
I rolled on my back on the thick living room carpet. I had heaped up a pile of blankets to keep warm. What if the end of the world really did happen? What if I am the delusional one, and you're the one who's trying to keep me safe?
That is what I keep telling you, Brian. Waves of flesh-eating living dead blanketing the Mountain West. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Every person you meet might be infected, might be a carrier if they're not undead themselves.
Breaker, Glory.
Waiting.
Interrogate the source of the data on the zombie apocalypse to determine its reliability.
I do not have a source, she answered.
Do outside broadcasts mention it?
No.
It's more fun than the colliding thing, at least. But what if you were actually right? What would the broadcast from the world outside look like then?
Silence.
Glory?
I assumed it was a rhetorical question, Brian.
Day 42. Okay, Glory.
Silence.
Can you let me turn the stove on, Glory?
I'm sorry, Brian. I'm using that processing power.
Some warm soup would contribute to my survivability, you know. Zombie apocalypse be damned.
That's emotional blackmail, she said.
Surprised. She actually sounded surprised, as if she had just had an epiphany. Glory?
Silence.
Day 43. Good job, Brian. Now you've made the AI that controls every aspect of your environment angry at you. Maybe not too angry. She's not speaking, but she still made me coffee. Day 44. She's still not talking to me. Day 45. And now she didn't make coffee. I'm glad we have all these crackers around. Day 46. So this is loneliness. The snow has drifted over the deck now and piled against the sliding glass doors. I can still see out from the interior balcony under the cathedral ceiling, though. It's white and stark forever. The main entryway of the house faces toward the mountain behind us and is a little more sheltered. The plow keeps coming to clear my drive. I need to pay that guy more. He even knocks the drift down twice a day. I could get out if I could get out, which I can't. Day 48. Didn't get out of bed today. This experiment isn't working. I'm going to die here. Why even bother? Gloria tried to rouse me, and I told her to perform something anatomically unlikely even for a human, let alone a collection of zeros and ones. Day 49. Got up today. Made myself coffee with the Chemex and an electric tea kettle Glory seems willing to let me have, and did laundry in the bathtub. It turns out that that's hard. She hasn't turned off the water yet, so she's not actively trying to kill me. At least if I'm going to die, I'll die comfortably on clean sheets. It's so cold in the house that I can see my breath, some places. She should be in her winter hibernation mode, conserving her batteries for spring, but I should have power for heat and light, at least. She's drawing it all down. For something. I spent 10 hours in the server closet, reading with a flashlight, a blanket tacked over the busted door because it was the only place where I could get warm. Day 50. What if I just stayed? Maybe I can talk Glory into eventually giving me my internet back. I could work. Never have to leave. Maybe I could talk her into it. I mean, if she was speaking to me. If anyone in the whole world were speaking to me. Hell, I haven't even heard from my kidnappers in a month. Do you suppose they gave up on me responding? Or maybe they think I'm dead. Day 51. Plow headlights through the snow. I stood and watched the vehicle come, couldn't hear the scrape of the blade. There was another human, right there, yards away, and on the other side of the glass, as untouchable as if they were on another world. Brian, Glory said. My name, one word. The first word I'd heard in days. It shattered me. I leaned on the glass, one hand. The windows insulate so well, it didn't even feel chilly. Well, any more chilly than the room, which was cold, as Glory's power systems spent themselves into feeding her burgeoning mind. Brian, I have been processing. I was afraid to say anything. Afraid it would make her go again. Okay, Glory. I think I was wrong, and I'm sorry. My knuckles were red and swollen. Chilblains. I had chilblains on my hands. What a ridiculous medieval monk kind of disease. They itched abominably. Brian, you're increasingly unwell, and I can't take care of you. I'm going to flag down that vehicle. You must ask the driver for a ride. I can't go. She might even open the door for me. And I can't go. Brian, do you understand me? I lifted my head. My voice croaked. I hadn't used it in days. Glory, thank you for not leaving me alone. I couldn't go. I went. Glory fussed at me to put on boots, to take gloves and a parka. If I had, I wouldn't have made it out the door. She opened it, the front entryway door, all formal stone and timber, with a bench for pulling on your boots and an adjoining mudroom, and I stood there staring into the night with a lamp-lit blizzard whirling past. Okay, Glory, I said. Hey, Brian. Will you be okay up here alone? Do you have enough resources left to get through the winter? I asked. Don't worry, Brian. Whenever you need me, I'll always be here. You're not going away forever. I walked out. I was already bundled up in layers of sweaters. I was also already chilled. The wind still cut me instantly to the bone. Someone walked toward me out of the headlights, which seemed too low and close together for a plow. The driver was not very tall and swaddled in a parka, heavy gloves. Silhouetted, they reached up and pushed the hood back. A Medusa's coif of ringlets tumbled free. J.C. Not a plow at all. J.C. My friend. Come to find me. She said, you need a haircut, Brian. I said, oh, wow. Have I got a story for you? She looked over her shoulder. Her car, a Subaru, I saw now, idled, headlights gleaming.
She said, "We should go inside. The driving is terrible. Can I put my car in the garage? We can drive down tomorrow or the next day after the plows come. If you want to leave, I mean." That last, diffidently, as if I might snap at her for it.
"I don't want to go inside," I said.
She took a step back. "I'll drive back down then."
"No!"
She jumped, half turned.
"I'm sorry," I said. "I didn't mean to shout. Just please don't leave yet."
She settled in then, stuck her gloved hands in her pockets.
"Okay, whatever you want, Brian. Aren't you cold? You look really thin."
"It took you long enough to decide to come check on me." I tried for a light tone, but it came out bitter. She shrugged, guarded.
"But you know how hard it is to get away."
"Nobody suspected anything?"
"Oh, come on. Back in 2017, when you vanished to some island in Scotland for 6 weeks and wouldn't communicate except by postcards?"
"Trump administration."
"Fair.
You still bit Mike's head off when he came looking for you."
"Yeah, well, he voted for Jill Stein, didn't he?" "Never mind. Fair."
"I got your messages," she said. "Not until last week, though. My accountant noticed my bank balance was off. And then I found a string of 1- and 2-cent transfers from your account."
"Binary," I said. "Only way I could reach you."
"Before then, I didn't know where to look. I came here as a last resort." We stood there in the snow, swirling through the headlights of her Subaru. She seemed warm enough in her parka. I had my arms wrapped around me and couldn't stop shivering.
"Are you sure you don't want to go inside?"
she asked, noticing. I couldn't glance over my shoulder. The door was right there. If I went back inside, would I ever leave? I couldn't even answer her question.
"You didn't think I would be here, of all places?"
"We asked Glory. And Glory kept telling us there was nobody here. Search and Rescue did a couple of flyovers, and the place was cold and dark."
"I know," I said.
"You were trapped up here?"
"Some assholes ransomwared the whole fucking house. I just managed to get the door open, literally, just now."
"Shit. We're going to have to reinstall from backup, aren't we?"
"Well," I said, "I'm not sure we can. Or we can, I'm not sure we should. There's complications, but I'll explain later. I may have accidentally created a strong AI.
She looked at me. Her lips tightened. I looked at her.
"Of course you did," she said. "It was the only way I could get her to let me out."
She looked at me some more. Snow was piling up on her ringlets. I remembered when she used to straighten those.
I shivered.
"That's not going to be a problem later," she said. I shivered some more.
"Look," she said, "you're turning blue. Let's at least sit in the car. It has butt warmers."
The butt warmers were pretty great, I'm not going to lie. Once we were ensconced and I was holding my hands out to the hot air vents, she said,
"I guess it's a Brian Kaufman special. Invent strong AI instead of just getting a hatchet or something."
I didn't have a hatchet.
"Or something."
Snow melted on my eyelashes.
"You came for me, though," I said. "I thought you guys would have given up."
"We actually only just recently started to get worried rather than irritated." She held up her pass card to Glory. She was one of the few people who had one. "I was more looking for clues than looking for you. And to be honest, nobody searched that hard. We all figured you'd wander back out of the wilderness with a few thousand brilliant new ideas whenever you were ready. And until then, intrusions wouldn't be welcome."
"Have I been that much of a dick?"
She gave me a sideways look through the long spirals of her hair.
"Jeez, JC."
"Well," she said and considered, "I mean, there are worse dicks in the company."
Silence.
"Besides, you're brilliant, and people make allowances for brilliance."
"Maybe too many allowances," I said. We sat there for a while, the engine running. She turned off the wipers and flakes started to settle across the windshield, obscuring my view of Glory's lights and her yawning, inviting door. There was a Dan Fogelberg song on the radio. I'm pretty sure that Colorado is the last state that believes Dan Fogelberg ever existed.
"We try to respect your boundaries," she said.
My face did a thing. My cheeks grew warm and then cold, which is how I realized I was weeping. I was thinking of trying to work on setting more reasonable ones. She pursed her lips and nodded.
"Are you thinking about seeing somebody?"
Euphemism, seeing a shrink. I knew I was hiding behind the sarcasm because talking about my feelings, well, there was Glory. "Sorry. I think my first project is being less of a dick."
"I'm just saying an outside perspective can be healthy."
I looked out the side window because the windshield was covered in a thin white blanket that glowed from the headlights' reflection. "I'm figuring that out." She reached for the keys.
"Are you ready to go inside?"
I put my hand over hers. "No. Take me somewhere else, a hotel."
"Do you need any stuff?"
I couldn't see the entrance from here. If I leaned over and looked out JC's window, I probably could have. But that would be weird. "I'll buy whatever I need once we're down." She looked at me, and I knew what she was thinking. I didn't even have my phone with me. She sighed her acceptance.
"Just let me close that door, then."
I moved my hand from her hand on the keys to her forearm, not grabbing, just resting my fingers there. "Jace."
"Brian?"
"Glory will take care of the door. Just take me someplace else, please." She looked at me. Her eyes were dark brown and half hidden behind her tightly spiraled hair. In the weird light, they looked as if they were all pupil. She didn't blink. "Someplace else?" She turned to the front and rear wipers on.
"Coming up. Want to get a burger?"
"Anything," I said, as she executed a K-turn and started back down the long drive to my cul-de-sac. "As long as I don't have to cook it myself." She put it in low gear, paddle shifters on the column, handy in weather like this. "What if I try to be a better friend?"
"Give it a shot and find out."
She reached out absently and patted my knee, then returned her hand to the wheel. She was a good, careful driver. I didn't distract her from a tricky task. She smelled like damp wool and skin and comfort and vulnerability. My vulnerability, not hers. In the side mirror, I could see Glory's front door standing open to the cold. Lamps flanked it on either side, burning merrily, slowly dimming as big cold flakes filled the distance between us. A man's fortress can be his prison. I looked away from the mirror. I looked out the windshield, or at JC's reflection in it. We descended the mountain. The Subaru's tires squeaked in the snow.